Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me today on this glorious Monday is the one and only Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm doing pretty swell. It's just another day, another week to start off with Crappens. And today is Crappy Hour Day. A lot's happened on Bravo since our last Crappy Hour. So come join us tonight. That's going to be at 5:30 on the West Coast, and it's going to be at 8:30 on the East Coast. And
special night, Leah YouTube. Black's coming.
And Leah Black is going to be here. Leah Black, yeah. OG Real Housewife of Miami, probably my number one candidate to return as a housewife on Bravo in some capacity. She will be joining us, and she's such a character, and she's so fun, and I can't wait to ask her questions about this season of Miami that just wrapped up and anything else. So please join us for our special guest. Leah is a longtime friend of the podcast, and she was one of the very first, if not the first, Bravo celebrity who ever came on to Watch What Crappens years and years and years ago.
I think she was the first. Yeah. Remember there was like a hurricane behind her on the freeway or something.
She's like, oh, so windy out here. Oh.
She was out running a tornado or something. Remember? That was funny.
Yeah.
Any minute, I'm out running a tornado. It's right behind me on the freeway. What do you guys want to talk about?
And she's been yapping ever since.
Lovely.
Tear it down.
So, she's always supported us. So come join us while we go talk with Leah. And you can find that. That's actually on YouTube. Go check out the Crappens YouTube. We're trying to grow it. Make it nice. Make it sexy. Make it fun.
Yeah, it's free. It's also a free post on Patreon. So you're always going to find it over there.
And on top of that, Patreon, wow, what a place. We have weekly bonus episodes. We also have our podcast, the video version of our podcast. I'm sitting really low in the frame today. I'm like sliding down. Gotta sit up. Join us. Patreon.com/WatchWhatCrappens. Today, Real Housewives of Potomac. It's the third episode of the season. We get our taglines. Kierna is still, you know what? She's still putting in that effort this season. She's like, no, I will be a housewife. Come hell or high water, I will do it. So Kierna's coming in
trying it. Like, this is a whole episode of Kierna trying it. Like, will at least one of her fights be interesting?
Yes.
One of her nonsensical, stupid fights. Can they be interesting? No, they're really not. But it is interesting watching her try over and over. And you know what? A for effort.
Yeah, A for sure. I love a housewife that takes notes. You know, she heard the audience, and the audience basically last season was saying,
snored.
Why is Kierna a housewife? And she said, I'm going to step it up. And she also clearly told Greg, listen, I don't know what you're thinking, but like, you either get on board new Kierna or you don't, because this train is leaving the station. And he came this episode, and like, he was all smiles, acting like he was actually enjoying the experience, which he wasn't, and trying to be all silly. So she's sort of getting things in shape over there, I guess.
Well, she brought her mom, and her mom is the most important thing, because her mom was like, I'm not going to stay in this party. Like, why would I stay here? I'm not going to be here with these trifling, you know. And then she did stay and just judged the whole thing, which I loved. She stayed and stood by the fireplace and just gave looks to everybody. Like, at one point, she was even waving her hand like, oh, no.
I know. She's like a school chaperone at the prom.
She was. She's like, do not make me step in there. So funny. She's a great addition. Ditch Kierna, bring the mom. That's who
I know. I think that would be a good direction.
Yeah.
So shall we start in with our taglines for this?
Let's do our taglines, everybody. Giselle is first. When the nest is empty, it's time for naked, grown, and sexy. Yeah.
Why do I feel like Giselle is not going to be doing any of those things?
Giselle's not going to be doing anything but stirring shit. That's what she does. You know, I liked her line in this episode when she said, these girls say such stupid things. I don't even have to make stuff up anymore, which I liked. Wendy admitting.
Yeah. She's like, I could just, they could just let her rip. Wendy's line is, I put the high in higher education. Well, that already didn't age so well.
You also put the high behind bars.
You put the high in mugshots. We've seen the pictures.
So, Stacy, some people believe the lies, but still, I rise.
Sure, Maya Angelou loves this.
Listen here, Angela loser. You can't just steal from Maya Angelou. You better pay the copyrights.
Kierna's is, beauty is my business, but getting you together is my specialty. That one's pretty good, actually. I think that's some good wordplay there.
I think hers should be, I have a new billboard and you bill be bored.
You will be bored. You will be bored. Like Michelle Lolly steps in. Don't worry. I will do your tagline. You will be bored. Michelle Lolly. Wait, I got this.
I can do this. You will be bored.
You will be bored.
So then we move over to Tia, who's like, you can only clutch pearls if you have them. And darling, I have loads.
Great. Love Tia. I'm just happy with anything she says. She could have been like, I went to the supermarket the other day and I found something that was on sale. I'd be like, oh, fabulous tagline.
Daughters, horrible creatures. Hmm? The end.
Angels is hell hath no fury like an angel scorned.
Oh, yeah, we see that in today's episode as you immediately back down and go after whoever Kierna wants you to.
I know, right?
Angels should have been, I will charge you to go outside. Because her business of, like, making people pay to go on hikes, which is still the biggest ripoff business I've ever heard. Yeah. So then is Ashley.
Or if you come for me, I'll say, take a hike.
This cherry blossom is ready for her second bloom. Come on, Ashley. These lines came after your second bloom. Okay. You missed it. You missed the boat, Ashley.
Ashley, you've been blooming for a long time. You've been having lots of blooms. I mean, you had the Luke Gilbranson bloom. You had the Ralph bloom. You had the Beavis and Butthead bloom. I mean, there's been a lot of blooming. You're like an
blooming
onion.
Blooming doesn't only have to do with men. Okay.
Well, I feel like with Ashley, it does, because what else is she doing? It's like, oh, she is. Does the TikTok dance count as a bloom?
She's singing. She's drag kinging. And as we learned today, she's going to exercise classes.
Michelle Lolly returns. She is drag kinging.
She is drag kinging. So let's see what the ladies are up to today. Angel's talking about her new house that she's shopping for with Bobby for this TV show that they're shooting that we're watching. And she wants to spend $7 million. And he's like, God damn. And then we go to Ashley. He's like, that's a lot of hiking trips. Okay, it's a lot of luxury hiking trips in Colorado.
He's like, you know, I'm not still playing football, right? Like my income is done for my life. I'm done.
Let's save some money. Let's save some money.
Yeah. Ashley is at spin class. It looks like she's at like a spin yoga class, which I don't even know how those two concepts work together. But she's saying like,
since I got divorced, it's like really something. I'm embracing who I am, the woman that I am right now. And like, if there's like a class of like other women, like it really activates my brain. I just want to be the fastest and the strongest and the best.
So she has, she's going to exercise class. She's trying to somehow like, turn going to exercise class into like an empowering statement of her womanhood and independence after divorce. But I'm like, that's fine. You're just going to an exercise class. Yeah. You're going to spin class.
I thought that was interesting. She's like, I'm a woman and now I'm doing what I want to do. I'm going to spin class. I was like, you've always gone to spin class. What are you talking about?
I know you were going to spin class with Michael also.
But now I'm better than everyone else.
Now we go to Stacy and Arabella. who's taking a pageant class with a beauty queen lady, and she's teaching her to walk. And can I just tell you, Arabella looks like her father, and she does not want to do this. It looks It looks like you're making the ex-husband try and do it, and he's like, "I will do this because I want to please you, but this is the only reason I'm here. Please take me for cookie after. Thank you."
Yes, but it's all worth it because we really see the purpose of this is not for Arabella to get pageant experience. The purpose is for Stacey to relive her pageant experience because the instructor is like, "Okay, now walk, walk. Okay, one, two, head up, whole way, beautiful. Okay, let's." Stacey's like, "Oh, do you mind if I step in? I just want to show her what genes she comes from. Okay, here we go." And then, of course, Stacey fully takes the stage and does her pageant walk and does it like perfectly, but with that like additional veneer of QVC experience.
And the pigpen cloud that's following her around of breath. Because that's all I can think of. You see these ladies, that's what they do to somebody. They make stinky breath a thing, and now that's all I see when she walks. That's not fair. Yeah. I hope they have a lot to answer for at the reunion. I almost said answer for. I hope they have a lot to answer for at the reunion. Because that's ridiculous.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry that this pageant scene was clouded by the breath cloud. But anyway, yeah, Stacey does it. And I always think it's funny when this happens because it's clearly like, are you really there to teach Arabella or are you just having your moment on camera? Because this is going to come back in therapy in about 5 or 6 years for her, just so you know. Like mother never even let me do my pageant classes. She always would take the stage. I mean, we all know this is where it's headed.
That's why my parents put me in bowling league. So they could just watch me rise to the top and live their dreams out. Which never happened. Mm-hmm. We always won the trophy where the person has just dropped a bowling ball on their toe and they're grabbing their toe. They're like, ow. And that's the trophy.
That's a trophy.
We were last place every year. Yeah, it's a last place trophy.
Wow.
In bowling.
I think I told you the story about Ruth, the bowling ball, right? I think I did at one point. But that was my finest moment in bowling is when, you know, you're choosing a bowling ball. And then I found a ball in the alley. It just said Ruth on it. And I was like, this is my ball. There's no more to that story. I just love to remind people that somewhere out there, there's like a maroon bowling ball somewhere in like Mount Kisco, New York, that just says Ruth.
Yeah, my meemaw's was Ramona, because that was her name, Ramona. And so there's a bowling ball out there that said Ramona, too. I like to bowl with hers, but my fingers got too big. Now what? Then it was all over. So then, she's just living out her dreams. And you know she is because she's brought her gay there to be like, yes, you're walking right. Yes, you're doing it great.
But what I love about AJ is he's a little bit not that at the same time. Cause like once she does her whole thing, he's like, okay, you ready to come back down? You ready to take your seat? This is not your moment. Like he's kind of like, okay, Stacey, let's not be ridiculous.
He's like, I'm working on my next meal ticket. Your daughter, sit down,
take a seat.
The new premium rises, not the premium. That's insurance. Those new supreme rises.
Supreme.
Sit down.
New premium rises. New gay slang, everyone.
The latest Ryan Murphy show. The newest premium rises is between Flo and Jake from State Farm. Who's going to win?
Monster: Flo. Played by Maggie Gyllenhaal.
No, it'll still be Stephanie Courtney. You cannot fire Stephanie Courtney. She will always survive.
I'll play my own Ryan Murphy bio. I'll do it. But why is Jessica Lange in this? I don't understand that. Sorry, I needed a gay icon.
She's playing Jake from State Farm. Stop calling me, please.
That would be Ron Murphy's move. You just get all the old gay divas, just line them up and put them in. Like, and Gene's smart as the gecko. Like, what?
Yeah. So they FaceTime Papa so he can see the final walkthrough. And so poor Arabella has to do it. Arabella, show your daddy. Arabella.
Show him, Arabella. Show him.
And she's like, you know, we're not telling Arabella that we're back together because divorce is hard. So we're just lying to her. We know, Stacey, that seems to be what you're being accused of all season. I love that she's like, how dare you accuse me of being a liar? I'm lying to my daughter for another season. It's been fun.
Well, I can't wait for the twist to come out that that, like, what's his name again? Tiago, Thierry, whatever. I can't wait for Timo. I can't, Temu. I can't wait for the twist to be that, like, her husband and Arabella already, like, he's already told Arabella, and they're just actually pretending. He's pretending that he hasn't told her, and she's pretending like she doesn't know, just because it's too hard for Stacey to deal with. Like, all this time, she's trying to protect them, but they're protecting her. Right?
No.
Wouldn't that be so sweet and entertaining?
It's a sweet turn. But Arabella is extremely smart, so she knows things that are clearly not fine. She knows things are clearly not final. So yeah, they FaceTime the dad, and he watches, and he's like, "Oh, great! I'm glad you found ways to waste more of my money." And then we go to Kierna and Wendy, and now this is a Salt Lake City scene if I've ever seen one. I mean, what are you two doing, something illegal? This looked like Deep Throat right here. I mean, she was sitting on a bench by the river. and Wendy comes up.
John Le Carré is happening in this scene. What? Where is the briefcase? It was like somewhere between like an 80s like Cold War spy movie, but also like Ingmar Bergman. Because I remember I saw like one Ingmar Bergman movie where there was a couple and they were sitting on separate benches but talking to each other. And I was like, this is so artsy and spy-y at the same time. What is happening here? And it's all shot from behind.
Like, yeah.
Who was the operative here?
And Wendy keeps showing up in completely inappropriate outfits, like literally everywhere they are. And I don't know if it's because they were arrested for the fraud and all that stuff, but I'm just like, oh my God, that's just so much money you're wasting for a park bench scene. You know what I mean?
I know.
You can never wear that again. I know you're on TV, but you're on a bench at a river. It's not even a nice river. It's like the shitty East River or something, you know? And Kierna's sitting there, you know, we only see her back. And then Wendy comes in this crazy looking jumpsuit, like this pastel romper thing, and sits down. Then Kierna just kind of turns to her, starts talking to her side, like just face it. She's reading a newspaper. She's like, okay, let's get right to it. Let me start by saying this. I wanted to bring it outside of a party setting for us to have a conversation. We can discuss issues that I feel we're having. Do not look at me. Look straight ahead.
The eagle has landed and the nest is under the bench. So she says that she feels like Wendy just wanted to be TV friends, you know, and off camera just felt a little phony, like didn't feel like a genuine relationship. And that like her behavior is not as consistent with someone who has ever liked her. So naturally, to get to the root of why they aren't as good friends off camera than they are on camera, she has decided to address this on camera.
Yeah, she wants to only confront her on camera about their off camera.
Yeah. Why aren't you as good friends with me off camera? I'm asking you on camera.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So,
Kierna, you've watched a lot of Housewives shows. I know that we'd all prefer Housewives shows where everybody's friends and that's how we know each other. But we know that's a bunch of bullshit. And when people bring people on as friends, it doesn't mean they're really friends. You know, we know that Wendy's not your really friend. We've always known, especially when Wendy was like, I'm not staying in the same room as Kierna. Hell no. And didn't come check on you when you had diarrhea, which I don't remember. I mean, I don't know if you remember it, but that was an entire storyline. That was a very huge storyline. That was Kierna's first victim storyline. Yeah. It was like, no one checked on me and I had really bad diarrhea.
Only Giselle checked on her about diarrhea. It's like not even a joke. That was her storyline. Yeah. The other thing is like they're your coworkers, I feel like, more than friends. And so you can be friends with your coworkers. But like if you run into your coworker at a restaurant, you're not necessarily saying like, oh my God, come sit down at the table with me. You're trying to kind of maybe have like some separation. I mean, I do think that Wendy's an asshole, but I also think that Kierna is like really trying to make this a thing. And Wendy just doesn't have the time for it. Wendy, you know, is like Kierna is this someone on her show who's not been terribly effective. And like, also, I feel like Kierna kind of has kid sister vibes on this show a little bit, sort of like what Ashley's initial role was like. So, you know, I kind of like understand Wendy being kind of frosty. I mean, it's not nice. It's not nice that she's,
you know, frosty, what this is. This is Kristen Takeman energy from Real Housewives of New York. When Bethany came back on and she was just like, why would you be friends with me? Why aren't we friends? Aren't we friends? Why are you putting me in a little box? And Bethany's like, I don't have time for this. Okay. Who are you? Who even are you? I don't even know who you are. Why am I being forced to fight with this new person?
Yeah.
It's giving those vibes. And yes, Wendy can be an asshole. Everybody knows it. But it's like Kierna's so late for this that it's like, we already knew Wendy was an asshole. Like we've, Wendy's been an asshole. And now we accept Wendy as the asshole that she is. And so now we kind of like Wendy being an asshole, if that makes any sense. Maybe not like it, but... especially when you're trying too hard to have fights with her. Because really all that counts is Wendy is always really nice to you on camera, especially when no one else really was, Kierna. And, you know, you should be grateful that someone's nice to you on camera. It's on camera. That's what matters. It's TV.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I don't love fights that are about things that happen off camera. Like, unless that's like something really, really, you know, strong. Like Scandoval was something that happened off camera. That's fine. But if it's like... you know, you're not as nice to me off camera as on camera. I mean, that's okay, but I think that Kierna's coming in really hot on this issue. Her vibe should be more like, hey, I want to check in because I kind of feel like when the cameras aren't rolling, I feel like we have a different vibe. And I just want to know, like, if there's something that maybe, like I've done that made you not so like, made you want to act differently around me. I don't know, but she's coming in like accusatory, like you're different to me. You're different. And I don't like this. And you're condescending. And well, first of all, Wendy's always been condescending. So that's your fault for not realizing that until now. But also it's like, you're not going to get in. If you're trying to mend a friendship, I don't think you're really going to get anywhere by sitting someone down and then just like pointing a finger at them and telling them why they suck.
Also, it's like week three and you haven't shut up about this and you've given us nothing that's really, you know, condemnable. It's like, I don't care about it. First of all, you got mad that she didn't say hi to you while she was giving a speech, which is weird. And then, I mean, you've given us nothing to hang our hats on. You know what I mean? And so even with current circumstances going on, I have to be Team Wendy because you're just trying too hard. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like her big thing is that she interrupted. She sat down in a conversation and then was upset that she was not like being addressed more, which I mean, you know, if a friend sits down, you do try to sort of like do sort of nonverbal things to welcome them in. But at the same time, you went and like joined a conversation and then you're like shocked that you didn't become the center of it. So,
yeah, weird.
That's on you.
So now the new thing is she's like, I don't have shit to do with this, but are you doing Preakness? And Wendy says, yes, but wait. Kierna's like, because I planned on hosting for the Black Eyed Susan event as well. And either we could come together here or we could have two separate events here because I did the legwork of trying to make this an event. And Wendy goes, I did the legwork. And First Lady Dawn Moore, her team reached out to me, which, oh my God, Dawn Moore's at home like, oh, Jesus.
She's like, what? I messed that one up.
She's like, this has been a rough 2 weeks for me, okay? Just please leave my name out of your mouth. Can we have that edited out? Can we just edit that out of the Peacock version?
Yes. She's like, let's have Dawn less. No, please don't mention me right now. Thank you very much. But I also love, you know, when Kierna's like, I put in the legwork to make an event for this Black Eyed Susan thing. I love that what ultimately winds up being is like fruit salad in her apartment at the table where there's not enough seats for everyone to sit at. it's like a very, like, it's actually a very standard brunch that like, I think most people might have, but like on Real Housewives, they just were like kind of cramped into like the grandest table. You know, they had to put two place settings at the end of the table.
Someone's in front of like a really ugly closet door, like to be shot, you know?
There's like not enough room for her mom and Greg to like be not in the scene because they're all like, she's like, I put a lot of legwork into this. Okay. I sourced some really good pineapple and melon.
So she's like, yeah, well, I did the legwork. And First Lady Dawn Moore reached out to me. And so Kierna's like, okay, fine. So and she's like, what's the issue, Kierna? And she's like, then host your thing. And she's like, but I don't understand the issue. And she's like, but there's not an issue then. So who did it first? If you guys are going to fight about this, we need to know, was this a party you were going to have together? Was this something Kierna was going to do and then Wendy stole it when she got the first lady invite? Or was this something Wendy said, I want to do this thing? And Kierna said, okay, I'll host a pre-thing for it. And now they're fighting, so they don't want to do it together. I need more details on this stupid fight.
I feel like Kierna, I think reading between the lines, Kierna was excited to host like a proper housewives party. And instead, Wendy has come in and is kind of like the First Lady of Maryland reached out about doing something. So I'm definitely going to do that. And so now Kiarna, probably her big thing that she was going to do, now got downgraded last second into being a brunch. This brunch I just made fun of her for, but it probably was like a last minute switcheroo. She got downgraded on the schedule. But I'm sorry, it was the First Lady of Maryland. That trumps Kiarna. And if I were Kiarna, I'd be like, oh, that's so cool. We should definitely do that. That's cool. We're going to go to like the governor's mansion or be in the governor's box or whatever. And Westmore, very hot governor too, I'd like to point out. Like, of course you do that. You're not going to, it's like, go hang out with Westmore, a hot governor versus Greg on the sofa. Hello. This is an obvious choice.
So Wendy tells us, I'm so excited to host the Ladies of Preakness. It's one of the races that's part of the Triple Crown. It's a staple in the Maryland community. And then we see a flashback of the ladies going in 2017. And she's like, and let's be very clear. First Lady of Maryland. And yeah, she asked me. So,
okay. Now that being said, everything is like, let's settle down on this First Lady of Maryland stuff though. Also at the same time, I know I just like did a whole state, like they're like, oh my God, it's Westmore icon. God, blah, blah. No, but like at the same time, like, let's also relax here. Okay. Like, it's cool that the First Lady of Maryland invited you, but like, let's just like take a breather. Okay. This is not like, you know, Julie Andrews was like, come to my mansion in Camelot or wherever she lives, you know?
What if she was like, Julie Andrews invited me to Preakness?
So. I don't know why Julie Andrews became the
why does Julie Andrews that, trump the First Lady of Maryland? I mean, what the hell?
Well, no, I think Julie Andrews is more. I know. What do you?
There's no term limits.
I don't know why. Yeah, there's no term limits on spinning around on a mountain. Okay. I don't know why.
A doe will always be a deer, people. A female deer. Okay. Sorry, First Lady of Maryland, Dawn Moore.
I think Dawn Moore seems great, but.
No Julie Andrews. That's all we're saying.
She's no Julie Andrews. And like, it's funny because like Wendy, like she just bragged about Dawn Moore one too many times. And I've already now been like, you know what? I've had enough.
Yeah. We've had it with you, Dawn Moore, trying to get on the show. What if Dawn Moore, what if they showed up, they show up and Dawn Moore's like, you know what, Wendy, I feel like you're just trying to be a TV friend. I would love that. Like everybody's just turning on Wendy.
Wasn't Dawn Moore on last season or did she send something? When Wendy and Eddie had their big party, I think, or maybe they sent like a letter, like from the offices of Dawn Moore or something like that.
Oh, yeah. They're like, we endorse this. What was it? Like the renewal of their vows? What was it? It was something. Yeah, she read.
Oh, we should have known.
Yeah, she read. She did read something where she's like, and this is from the First Lady of Maryland. It's like, okay. Karen was like, oh, wow. So I just got, you know, basically overshadowed by the First Lady. Okay, got it. So she's like, okay, let's move on from this because I want to have a real conversation. When we were at Ashley's Bloom Ball, you were very, very condescending. Oh, for Christ's sake, we're going back to the Bloom Ball. We didn't even want to go to the Bloom Ball in the first place. Now we have to go back there. Kiarna.
Can we go to Kiarna, this Bloom Ball is wilting me. And then, by the way, the only evidence they can pull up of Wendy being condescending is just like a shot of her face just being blank and bored, listening to whatever Kiarna is saying. I was like, that's not condescension. That's just like, really, you're going to come at me right now and I'm just trying to have a conversation with Giselle.
Yeah, she was just lifting up her dress and talking to Giselle about her dress. And Kiarna's like, how dare you? I walked up and you didn't immediately drop your dress and say, hello, Kiarna, we're discussing my dress. So Wendy's like, what brought you to me at Ashley's event? I'll be honest with you. That's very juvenile to me. And I don't understand it. She goes, false. Okay, that's not true. But go ahead. False. Go ahead with your falsities.
Whether it's false or not, I'm telling you how I feel. And not just how I feel, but how Dawn Moore feels, First Lady of Maryland. So I want you to know that I saw red flags and you as a friend. And I saw state flags when I visited Dawn Moore. And I was just trying to navigate it because I was trying to learn you better.
Yeah. And Kiarna goes, same.
And Wendy continues.
Same.
Oh, yeah. Well, but same. For me, like, I was like, dang, she doesn't call me. You know me, the person who's always had your back in the group. On my birthday last year, it was Ashley said that you got your business like from drug money. And guess what? I was the only one in that group that chased after you, much the way Dawn Moore chased after me with the invitation to the Preakness. And you know what? it's okay. Don't worry about it. I said to her, don't worry. Don't worry. It's okay. It's okay. And that's the kind of friend I've been to you. The kind of friend who consoles you, even though she's friends with the First Lady of Maryland.
That is funny, though, that Wendy's only evidence of them being friends is her hugging her and going, it's okay that they called your boyfriend a drug dealer. Like, that's their only evidence of friendship, Kiara. Why are you acting like you guys are best friends? It's so weird. So she's like, yeah, but you know what, Wendy? Here's what you do. You show up whenever there's a moment where you have to align and look like a friend. But then privately, I expected more from our friendship. She's like,
why are you trying to chase? Why are you chasing this friendship then?
Yeah. I mean, privately, are people calling your boyfriend a drug dealer that she should be there privately? Because that's what she was there for you for. So that's it.
Yeah.
What do you want from her? It's so weird that you're making me stick up for Wendy. It feels like this is the wrong season to be sticking up for Wendy of all seasons, but I can't help it. You're just coming up with too much bullshit, you know? And Wendy can be wrong in all the other stuff that she's done and still be right in this. And I think that's the case here, Kiara. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going against someone who should be universally being like kind of dogged on right now because of everything going on in the press. And you've got us on her side. I mean, what the hell, Kiara? This is how bad you are at this right now. Rethink.
Yeah. Isn't it weird? I feel like we're all kind of in a holding pattern on Wendy right now. We're like, should we be like really angry at Wendy? Is there more to the story? I feel like we're all just sort of like watching, but it hasn't actually affected my view of her on the show just yet. I just have cringe moments like with her tagline, you know?
Yeah. I mean, what can you do? You just go through week by week. You know what? Day by day. We can just take it day by day. We're housewives addicts. We have to think of this like our addiction, you know? We can't just waste all our anger and be mad when people tell us to and, you know, make bad choices just because we feel like it. You know, we take this day by day. And today, I think Wendy is correct.
Yes. So Keanu's like,
now I'm going to have a drink. Damn it. I ruined it.
Kiana says, when I feel like it comes to a point in that friendship that we can't connect on it, like I don't like it, and like it makes me feel uncomfortable because I feel like I can't show up and be my authentic self with a person that I've seen as my friend. And then when I sat across from at the event and watched you be so and we see go back to the bloom ball with Giselle talking, when he's talking to Giselle about her outfit, and she goes, I'm watching you sitting there locked in with Giselle and you don't even fucking like her. She's like, wait, but like, because it was our conversation, we were talking. That's why I was locked in with her.
But you don't even like her. And she goes, you don't even fucking like her. She goes, no, actually, I do like her. She goes, oh, but you're talking about me. No, because you don't like her. She does that a lot today. Kiara, you don't understand. Everybody talks about each other. This is Housewives. You cannot like somebody, and then the next day you're at lunch in a stupid outfit with them. That's how the show is. You have to talk to people you don't like on this show.
I'm going to say something that I would never say to Stacey. Take a breath for a second, okay? Just exhale.
But if Stacey was here, I would say inside breath. Inside breath. So Wendy's like, calm down. She goes, I am calm. And she says, when I was talking to Giselle, that was my conversation with Giselle. And I don't even know what the issue is. And she's like, here's what you did. The Wendy I talked to on the phone is very excited about me, but it really centers around the show. Okay, because you're on a show together. Who cares? What else is she going to be excited about? Your relationship with Greg? Your fake moving to another apartment so you don't take shit from the audience about still being with Greg? Which, by the way, you're hypocritically getting on Stacey for and probably Giselle later this season. So Kiara's like, yeah, you're excited on the phone, but then you're not excited in real person. And Wendy just starts doing her cackle. That like,
yeah. Wendy's just like, I've had enough. She starts laughing and she's like, this is what she's bringing to me. I don't know what to do with it. It seems like the level of handholding that Kiara needs in a friendship exceeds where I am as a grown ass woman who's friends with the First Lady of Maryland.
Yeah. And so Kiara's like, stop it. But Wendy just gets up to leave and still keeps cackling. And she's like, I still don't like you. And you're raggedy. Goodbye. Thank you. So Kiara is like, this is all the confirmation I needed. The fake laugh, that I'm not really hearing you. To me, it's just a lot of deflection. Kiara, she doesn't like you. Let me just tell you the truth. The read you're getting on Wendy is correct. She only likes you on the show because you're an ally. Now you're being an asshole on the show and you're going to find out real quick what it's like to have her not as your ally because you fucked up, Kiara. for no reason. Yeah. She doesn't like you. She didn't like you. She's not going to like you. That's just how it is. She's showing up to punch in, and then she's going to punch out. So she can punch in and be on your sign, or she can punch in and be your enemy. And you're about to find out the second choice. It's not a good one. Bad choice.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's sort of in this. Basically, Kiana concludes that, like, I think we're not really enemies, but we're not really friends. And they flip each other off as Kiana leaves. And Wendy just keeps on doing this laugh. But then they do this weird, then they have this weird moment. They both start, like, walking away from the river. And, like, Wendy almost, like, she, like, hugs Kiana. Like, there's, like, a side hug with her laugh. And Kiana's like, get off me. And I was like, what was that about? You guys just had a fight, but you're trying to kind of, like, do a side hug with her. Did you guys just say, like, okay, good scene. We just wrapped that up. Let's go have lunch.
Wendy's energy is just, like, laughing it off. And she's like, I'm not going to fight with you. That's what I'm getting from her. Like, she's not even mad. She's just like, girl, I'm not going to give you a fight on TV. Sorry. Like, bye. Have a good day. Okay. I wasted this outfit on a park bench. So have a good day.
Yeah. Seriously.
Goodbye.
So now we go over to Angel's house with Bobby, and we get a new type of generational trauma. It's so rare that we're able to get a new kind of trauma on any of these Housewives shows. We've gone through so many of them. But Bobby soft launches a new one, which is that when Patricia, his mom, says, offers some yogurt to him, he says, nah, I don't eat yogurt. Had too much go-gurt as a kid. I was like, ooh.
Oh, so it's my fault you don't like yogurt or fruit. The mother can never win. The mother can never win.
All I wanted to do was show you love. And I showed you that love through go-gurt. And now this is how you repay me.
The doctor is like, show me on this Pop-Tart where go-gurt hurt you.
He's like, got the go-gurt. That's why he was such a good football player, because he just, like, envisioned all the other opponents as sticks of go-gurt. He's like, oh,
this teddy bear is go-gurt. Tell it how you feel. Tell it how you feel. So it's breakfast for the kids. And Angel has a lot of orchids, a lot of orchids. And I feel like that's a rich person thing to be like, look at me with all my flowers that die every 5 minutes. I can just get more.
I can just get more.
This is a yogurt family. We've got as many ogres, many orchids as we want.
We went from go-gurt to orchids, and we're never looking back. Like, no, Angel, we'd like a better tagline from you. But she's holding up, there's a orchid flower that's on the table, like the bud, like the whole flower fell off. And
that's how they, like, do. The whole flower falls off. And then you're left with a fucking stem and some bark, thinking, will this ever come back? That's what's happening to me right now. Every day I'm like, is it coming back? Are you coming back? No. People have been writing me letters saying it will come back. It will come back. Keep it going. So I keep doing the watering thing. I keep going through the motions. Still not back.
Yeah.
Fucking orchids. Well,
I agree. And that's how I actually think dorkids, that they are
that's
not.
That's what I call them. Dorkids. You're a dorkid is what you
are. You're a dorkid. Maybe it went from being an orchid to an orc adult. It said, I'm leaving this stem, going off to better pastures.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Anyway, this is actually why I think that they don't normally have orchids, because I think anyone who ever has had an orchid or is had a friend who's had an orchid, because anyone who has a friend who has an orchid will have the rant that you just had, which is like, I'm so mad my orchid died. Like I've been on the receiving end of that for so many times, and I'm always very sympathetic. I'm not sick of it. It's actually a rant I really enjoy, but you can tell she's never had an orchid before, because she's like shocked. She's like, what happened to this flower? I'm like, it's an orchid, bitch.
That's what happened to orchids. They're loser flowers. And you know, when this guy gave me this orchid at our little Crappens thing, someone brought it to me. And at first I was like, that is so sweet. Those are such gorgeous flowers. But then I thought, this person wants me to fail. You know what I mean? And you know who it was? It was my mortgage guy. It was my mortgage guy who gave it to me.
Well, it's a straight He's guy. Like, here's a flower. What can you expect?
Well, his girlfriend got it. But I was like, these people want me to fail. You know what I mean? They don't want me to have a good refi rate. They ultimately want me to. They're getting me a failure plant. Because everybody with an orchid knows those plants make you feel like a fucking failure. Everybody knows it. And I was like, they don't like me. They truly don't like me. So anyway.
On top of that, like, so their whole thing, I feel like, with orchids is that they look like, I think, like giant bee vaginas, right? Isn't that why the bees love going to them? Because they crawl up in there because they're like, oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Oh,
yeah. I've never looked at a bee vagina up close. How am I supposed to know?
I just seem to remember when I was a kid in like science class that the bees loved going to, like, the orchids mimic something sexual for the bees, I think. So the bees get all up in there. Hmm. So I'm like, okay, so you're
you're telling me the orchid died because I stuck my penis in it. That had actually, I need to actually look that up.
I probably should. I probably should look into this more, but I seem to remember that there was some, Natural History Museum has a headline right here. The Natural History Museum of the UK headline, sneaky orchids manipulate bees for pollination. I mean, it's all right there in the headline. Am I right? Sneaky orchid.
Okay, so like, we're talking about orchids so much because it's an angel scene and there's not much else to talk about. So she talks about her mother passing, but giving her a lot of wisdom. And then they talk about her mom for a while. And now they're talking about, a package. And now they're talking about their kids. And her mom's protecting her through stuff. Okay, so now they're talking about the girls.
Bobby's crying over in the corner because he's thinking about Go-Gurt. Yeah, continue.
Go-Gurt is in the corner just laughing maniacally. It's like, got another one.
Go-Gurt's action orchid.
It's like an orchid's like, growing out of a Go-Gurt. It's like, I'll get you both. I'll take this entire couple down.
The orchids from like Needful Things. It's like, oh, here's a little trinket from your childhood to destroy you.
So they start talking about the little party they had at their house. And Angel's like, Giselle walked in here and she basically related that Kay said she chin checked me when I went to her talks and caviar event. So then we see a flashback to that. And she's like, and then I woke up upset because number one, that didn't happen. And number two, why would she use that type of language? Chin checked. How could she? I'm an outdoor expert. I'm a luxury outdoor expert.
I have orchids that I'm very comfortable and know how to care for. I have those here. What? Chin check. I think last week we were talking about chin checking and I thought chin checking meant that you just like jut your chin out. Like you'd be like, hey, quiet. But what I learned this week is that chin checking is like an actual little fist on the chin. It's like a little punch on the chin. I didn't realize it was quite literally punching you in the chin.
I still like the Urban Dictionary's one better of like, you know that your girlfriend's cheating because she's got the outline of someone's balls on her face.
Yeah, that's a great one.
I can't stop thinking of that. Every time they say it, I start laughing. So now she's decided that she didn't like this chin check thing even more. She woke up now that she's doing a good job as a housewife because she's forgiving something and then waking up and getting upset all over again and then deciding to make it another episode. And you know what? That's what you're supposed to do. So welcome to work. So he's like, yeah, chin check is like, boom, to the chin. Like it's a punch to the chin. She goes, yeah, that's actually physical. And he goes, yeah, like she checked your chin. Like she go-gurted your chin. And Angel's like, yeah, there we go. And so I need to have a deeper conversation with Kay about why she had to do that. Because I have her back no matter what. But it is an issue where I feel disrespected for being accused of chin checking somebody. The language.
And then Bobby takes something out of the oven with teeny tiny oven mitts. And he's like, look at these, the biggest oven mitts in the world, huh, everyone? But like the sad truth is that they're probably like an extra large oven mitt. He's just so big that like they just fit on his like fingertips. So he pulls them out. And now we go over to lunchtime at Circa. And Stacy is there with none other than Jassy. Jassy is back. I was so happy to see Jassy. I was surprised. I was like, oh, here comes Jassy. I like her because she likes to be all fancy, but you just know that it's going to crumble away. I was surprised that she wasn't a full-time housewife this season. Were you a little surprised?
Mm-mm. No.
No?
I couldn't pick Jassy out of a lineup. Like, I wouldn't have remembered her. I mean, no offense. She was always nice, but she didn't do much, did she? All I remember was when she had that party at her house. She was like, look, it's a mansion. Look at all these rich, fabulous people. It's such a fabulous party. And na-na-na. And everyone's like, oh, her boyfriend didn't make it into the NFL. What was that? Like, didn't he lose his position or something? Or he was just like benched or something like that. Yeah. It didn't go well. He didn't get drafted or whatever. I mean, I don't really understand
sports. He went, well, he was on the, oh, he was on the Chiefs and they won. Oh, cause they had the party because he won the Super Bowl. But then he was hoping to go, I don't know. I don't know what it was. I thought there was some like minor scandal about Jassy that was going to like power her onto the show, but it
didn't he have a baby with somebody while they were broken up for a week.
See, that's why I loved her because, she was very slippery with the truth in a way that I found was very funny. Anyway, she's back. So they're sitting down, they're talking, and Stacey, they're bonding over the fact that they bonded in Miami because they both went down to Miami for Mia's birthday party, and then Mia ditched them, as was discussed on the reunion last season.
Darius Harris is an American professional football linebacker for the New England Patriots.
Oh.
So there you go. Just in case anybody gets annoyed with me for not knowing what the hell I'm talking about, because I admittedly don't. I don't know anything about sports. So there you go. But you see, this is what happens when Jassy comes back. I have to start Googling sports shit because I say stupid things and then I have to fix them. Okay, so where were you?
I was just saying how they bonded because they both went down to Mia for Mia's birthday party. Went down to Miami.
Yeah, so this is another friendship for TV, because that was a long time ago. So she's like, wow, so good to see you. Remember how we got so bonded over that Mia Miami trip? Yeah, me neither. I barely remember it too. But God, it's so good to have a girlfriend. Have I told you that Arabella isn't as good of a walker as me?
No, I have to say, I want to start by apologizing, not for Arabella's performance. She'll never be as good as me. But I don't think that I've been a very good friend. And Jassy goes, that's okay. You know, I'm just happy to be here since I'm not a full-fledged housewife. Well, I pride myself on friendships and the support that I give and get when I love someone, and I love you, but I have a lot going on. And Jassy's like, well, I mean, last time I talked to you on the phone, you know, you were baking schnitzel for your ex-husband.
And she's like, yeah, we're working it out. Okay, you know, tell me about your wedding plans. Do you have a dress? Should I say dresses? She's like, you should definitely say dresses. I've got a lot of dresses. Okay, well, let's pretend I care about your wedding before we start talking about other people. Okay, so listen, everybody's really mean to me in the group now. Now, Kay sent an invitation to the group. She was having a pre-party before Preakness, but Wendy also mentioned that this was something she was involved in. So at this point, I'm putting on a dress, and what's it called? What's it called? A fascinator. A fascinator!
And we see Kiara's text that's like, you know, hey, I was invited to Black Eyed Susan Day at Preakness, and I'd love for you to come by. I'm having a pregame at my apartment, so come dress for the derby, and don't forget your dollars for betting. But then Wendy's text comes through that says, hi, lady. I'd love for you to join me at Black Eyed Susan Day at Preakness. The First Lady of Maryland, Dawn Moore, my friend, invited me for the day, and I'd love for you to come enjoy the event in your best derby wear.
Yeah. So Stacey's like, wow, I just can't tell you how hard it is for me. Every time I've gotten together with the ladies, they gang up on me. And Ashley and Giselle demanded that I present my divorce papers. By the way, did you read that she does have divorce papers? She is legit divorced. Yes. Oh, wow. That's what was reported this week by TMZ, which is basically the real news.
Wow. So Stacey's saying, they're just not happy for me. Jassy then, says that her grandparents got divorced. And then they continued to basically they were divorced for 6 months and then they continued a 60-year marriage. So, you know, it's not crazy. Things like this happen. And then Stacey's like, and didn't Giselle get together with her husband? She's like, yeah, and there's that too. Speaking of Giselle, word on the street, that's her famous line. I'm using it now. Word on the street. I don't know if you're aware, but Giselle has a new man.
Word on the street is that Giselle is the word on the street. And she's got a man. So we see a blurred out picture, a paparazzi photo of Giselle with some guy. And
his name is like on the headline, which is funny. I didn't write it down, but they show they're like Giselle Sean caught Springs. With so-and-so. Sean Springs.
His name is Sean Springs. Sorry, I didn't mean to stop the show.
No, I'm looking it up.
Saying that's his name, Sean Springs. And so Stacey's like, do you think Darius knows him? She goes, probably. So while she's worried about my man, we need to find out about her man.
So
I don't care. Is he cheating on somebody? Like, why is it bad if she's dating somebody? Because she's not sharing it?
Yeah, I'm about to say, isn't Giselle allowed to date someone? Maybe it's that she's, maybe that she's not divulging it to the group. I don't know if she's, if she has to divulge it to the group. I think the issue is that Stacey, it seems like there are untruths surrounding her marital status and her relationship with Timo, and like whether or not they were together all the time, like everything with TJ, was he paid for it? Was he not paid for it? Was it real? Was it not real? Like, there's no issues surrounding whether or not Giselle is dating a football player. It's like dating.
Yeah, who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah. So he is an American football, former professional football player. He was a comeback in the National Football League for 13 seasons, which that's good because Giselle's good on this show, but she's not great with comebacks. So maybe maybe he can help her. He played college ball for the Buckeyes, earned All-American honors, and he was selected by the Seahawks third overall in the 1997 NFL draft.
Well, look at that. He was a cornerback. Mm-hmm.
A cornerback. I thought it said comeback. Yeah. God, I'm so blind.
It's a comeback.
I'm really losing it. Maybe it's time to get some glasses.
Okay. He may have had a comeback moment.
I really don't know about sports. I was like, what's a comeback? I love that. I love that they have that in football. Maybe I'm interested in this sport.
It's just like Valerie Cherish playing football.
You want to tackle me? I will wither you with a comeback. Writing a city comeback. Hey, you don't even want to hear what I have to say about orchids.
So Stacey shows this to Jassy, and Jassy's like, wow, how'd you pull this tea? This is unlike you, Stacey. I'm like, I'm sure she just Googled, is Giselle Bryant dating anyone? And this popped up. It's a news story.
Yeah, it's literally a news story.
It's not hidden information. She goes, I know people around the neighborhood. It's like, it's Google. You looked on Google.
Hey everyone, this is the end of part one of this recap. For part two, keep an eye on your podcast feed. It is coming up in just a moment. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you on the second half.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Itchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer. For Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Que sera sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
It's our queen. It's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
Gee, it's Lisa H.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
We're obsessed all with Tessa V.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.